type at a serving table at Arby's. Why, hello there. It's a woman at 18 seconds after the... My processing sounds fantastic today. Has somebody altered my vocal processing? Jeff McGinley. Somebody's got a hug coming today. I'm looking in your direction, my little Irish friend. All right. Well, in any event, I sound wonderful. I'm just going to talk all day today. Listen to how masculine I sound. Listen to the warm yet crisp timbre that my voice has. It's 1 minute and 32 seconds after the hour of March, and this the month of... Well, I just made a mess of that. The hour... Can we start over? Would it be terribly... Would you mind if I... I'm sorry, I hate to make you move your lasagna out of the way.
No, I would not mind.
Okay.
I'm going to take a second.
All right, I'm just going to stand here. I'm just going to stand here and revel in how fantastic this processing sounds. This is excellent. This processing just makes me want to sit and blather on endlessly without point or rhyme or reason or meaning or form or function all day today.
Lucky us.
KCM Portland. KCM 970. Solid State Radio.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
It's 2 minutes and 3 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of March in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We thank you for your radio presence and your patronage on this fine Monday morning. It is Monday, and welcome to Day 12. If you'd like to be part of our program today, it's so simple a child could do it. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program. Seriously, my microphone sounds so great. These are changes. I don't even know if these are discernible to the average pair of ears out there. Maybe I'm just becoming progressively more deaf, and so it just sounds better to me. Well, whatever. It sounds great. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 for your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. 503-733-2970. You can also engage with us electronically if you like, if that's your fancy. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com if you'd like to engage with us in a binary fashion today. It's Monday. Thank you for coming. I hope you had a satisfying weekend and so forth. I do have to say this. The doubt, here's the one thing about downtown this weekend. Well, I'll get to it. I won't talk about it. I'll talk about it here in just a few. Because I made this, I completely forgot about the completely worthwhile and I'm sure highly effective peace protest, which was happening at the, and why do I always forget about these things? We talk about them all week long. It's like St. Patrick's Day, which we talked about for a solid 4 hours on Friday. And, of course, by the time Saturday came, it had completely rolled out of my brain. By the time Saturday got here, I had completely forgotten that it was St. Patrick's Day. And so then Laura and I are trying to go out and, you know, she's trying to drive, and the streets are just filled with idiots. Just filled with idiots in green clothing, as far as the eye can see, weaving and staggering. Really, it really is like you're walking by the circus. You know what I mean? These guys just randomly falling into the street in front of your car. Anyway, so it was on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a second. Anyway, it's Friday. It's not Friday. It's Monday. What the hell is my problem today? I have no idea what's going on in my head. It is 503-733-2970. Maybe it is Friday. Maybe it's like a Twilight Zone. You know those Twilight Zones where somebody doesn't know that they're already dead and they're trying to hitchhike to get home and they don't realize that they really died on that road 10 years ago? Maybe it really is Friday.
Not Friday.
Maybe I'm in a coma and I'm not even really here. Maybe this entire the program today is just some sort of a fever dream I'm having while I'm unconscious in a hospital bed while you were sleeping style. Probably not. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. You'd like to email today. Lots of great stuff coming up today. We have the following story. Hey, you're removing my belly button. Hey, now you've taken my nipple off. Stop it. Stop it now. What else? We have a snuffwatch. I think now it's a single snuffwatch. It's a single. It was going to be a double snuffwatch, but I decided the second death was so meaningless and incidental that I didn't really care about it. So we have a snuffwatch coming up today. You are a male geek. We have a sad geek watch to get to today. We're also going to find an excuse to use the word anus many, many times during today's broadcast. What else? We'll be talking to Lisa Goddard from CNN. I'm going to share with her this story. As part of my ongoing endeavor and crusade to impress Lisa, I'm going to share, because I'm always finding all of this, these Washington, D.C. news stories to try to be relatable to her personally. So I've got this about, this is from the Associated Press. It's one-third of the people living in Washington, D.C., which is where she makes her home. One-third of the people living in Washington, D.C. are functionally illiterate. So we'll share. So not only is she going to be mugged, she's going to be mugged by somebody who's not even going to be able to use any of the things that they steal from her. So we'll talk to Lisa Goddard today. Jim Roop is going to join us from Los Angeles. We're going to talk about the Phil Spector murder trial, which I believe begins. Is it today? Does it begin today? Murder trial, Phil Spector, scheduled to start today. Him and that big ass, that crazy hair of his. I guess that's just part of his whole, if I look like I'm insane, they might not convict me thing. I don't really know that's going to be effective. Well, in any event, the defense apparently claims that what's-her-name, Lana Clarkson, shot herself. All right, so we'll talk to Jim Roop about the Phil Spector later on today. What else do we have here? Scotty J is assembling a top five as we speak. I'm going to talk about the 10 worst television spinoffs of all time. And I got this whole thing like I'm going to sneeze, and yet I'm not sneezing. It's been there for about an hour and a half now.
I'm having that same thing.
Hey, you know why? Geez, your throat kind of itchy today?
Mm-hmm.
It's allergies. It's allergies and it's hay fever. Here's the thing about allergies and hay fever. Allergies and hay fever are like asthma in that people who don't have them don't believe they really exist. If you don't have asthma or if you don't have hay fever, you think it's a thing to say that people are just making up. You think it's a thing that people are just fabricating to try to get out of going to gym class. Sometimes that is the case. It's not the case this year, I can tell you, because I've talked to so many people in the Portland area who just, you walk outside and immediately it's like your eyes start to water, and your throat's all scratchy, and you're... And, you know, can I just tell you this? I know I don't want to actually be gross. I'm not trying to be disgusting or revolting, but we're not even into the news hour. So
you're going to say something really...
Well, I'm going to get it taken care of now before we hit the 12 o'clock hour, because I don't wish to be off-putting while people are trying to digest their food. A, the counter at which Jim Riley sits during this program is covered in grease. Covered in grease.
And every Monday morning, Jim, I feel for him.
Jim comes in every Monday. We're not quite sure who it is. I don't know.
We might have a vague inkling.
He's clearly one of the weekend people. He comes in. I mean, I don't know exactly what there is there's some genetic makeup in radio board ops or radio weekend employees. I don't exactly know why it is that they're all covered in grease all the time, but they are. And you know it's true. If you've ever worked in radio, you know what I'm saying is true. If it's board ops and weekenders are just covered in slime constantly. I don't know if it's a byproduct of just sitting at the control board for 5 hours in a row, just eating nothing but Cheetos and Gardetto snack chips. I don't know whether if you're a board op, if you're just dividing time between this and three other gigs and there's no time to go home and, you know, shower. But, I mean, they got that handicap bathroom here with the big sink. You can go in there and give yourself a good scrubbing, it seems like. Anyway, so Tim comes here, and every Monday, without fail, Tim comes and sits down at the news desk. And whoever it is, it's kind of a who's been sleeping in my bed sort of a thing. Except, instead of who's been sleeping in my bed, it's who's been leaving their viscous body goo all over the desk where I have to work. And who's been typing on the keyboard and leaving it covered in oils. I mean, that's nothing but bad. You ever picked up a computer? And I'm really self-conscious about the deal. If I ever use somebody else's computer, I ever use somebody else's desk for anything, I try very hard to leave it in the same shape that I found it in. Here's the truth. This is a true story. About 6 months ago, My computer was down. We were having to fix it. My computer was turned off. It wasn't functioning properly. I had to use somebody else's computer. And it had been I'd been bicycling, and it had been a really, really dry couple of days. And my hands get really dry. And so I'd had to put, like, some, whatever, like some hand lotion on there. So I put some hand lotion on, and I was really hypersensitive to the fact that I'm sitting at somebody else's desk, using somebody else's computer, using somebody else's mouse, having recently applied hand lotion to my hands. And when I was done, I sat and I gave that mouse a good, like, 30, 40-second scrubbing. You don't want to use somebody else's computer. Then they come and they sit down after you, and they pick up the mouse, and it just squirts out of their hand. That's no good. You don't want to be that guy. Anyway, so Tim comes in on Mondays, and without fail, would you say it's more of a grease, Tim, or more of just an all-over kind of filthiness? Oh, it's grease. Is it just on the mouse? It's dollar fast food grease. it's a Mexican pizza.
All it takes a little soap and water. There's a restroom right down here. There are other places to get soap and water in this building.
Fantastic.
Soap and water.
So there you go. So that's part A. That's part A of this, is that every Monday, Tim Riley's workspace is covered in grease. If you're the one leaving grease all over the studio, wash yourself. For the love of sweet God, just give your body a good cleansing. It will thank you, and so will we. Secondly, I think we can all agree that when it comes to cold, flu, or allergy symptoms, the worst of all is the runny nose. There's nousothing worse than a runny nose. It's just so... And it not only does it disgust other people, you are disgusted by yourself. When you're sitting there, have you ever talked to somebody, or you're out at, God forbid, have you ever done this? You ever been out on a date with somebody, and you've got a runny nose because there's hay fever, or there's pollen, or some crap in the air? And it's like you got two choices. You can either leave, like if you're out at dinner, if he's in there with a runny nose, you can either leave the table every 5 minutes to go to the bathroom to wipe your nose, or you can just give into the inevitable and you can just become that horrible, awful thing, and you can blow your nose at the table in front of the person that you are with, which is just revolting, and where you are just so disgusted with yourself, just so horrified and revolted by your own appearance. And there's no worse sound. I would say this, too. I would say that remember we did that thing a few weeks ago, it was the worst sound ever, where there was some scientific study, they were trying to determine what the worst sound of all time is. I would say the sound of someone giving their nose a good blowing, that's right up there. That's in I would say that's in the top freaking five. There's somebody there trying to giving themselves a good hanky full. Yeah, right there at the table across from you. There's nothing but bad in any of us. So I'm on the Claritin all weekend, and which is fine, except it makes you feel all jacked up. It makes you feel like you're all full. And then I buy, this doesn't make any sense, then I buy the Claritin. I'm at the store this weekend. I buy Claritin, which is the non-drowsy formula. I make sure to buy the non-drowsy Claritin. What is the first warning, do you imagine, on the non-drowsy Claritin? Warning, product may cause drowsiness. It makes no sense at all. I don't understand anything about this world we live in. This entire world is puzzling to me sometimes. All right. I don't even remember what I was going to be talking about here, but doesn't matter now. It's over. We'll talk to Jim Roop today. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard. We'll get their snuff watch. We'll talk about this. Hey, 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 that's my belly button you're removing. Geek Watch, Enos, top 10 worst TV spinoffs of all time. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Scotty J is creating a top 5. Likas at 3, Donna Mike at 7. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you today?
I'm doing well. You're not talking, kind of grossing me out.
I'm just trying to get it done now because it's an observation I had to make, but I wanted to get it. And I still got that. You get this too, because you get allergies, right? You get hay fever.
I do.
Do you get that thing where when you get allergies, it feels like your voice is a lot higher? It feels like you're talking through your nose and not so much through your mouth, and you start to feel like your voice is really constricted. So that's the same thing I'm getting.
No, I have that exact same thing.
It's bad, and I got those.
Where did you get? Did you go to Washington?
No, see, Claritin you can buy here. Claritin you can buy in Oregon because it doesn't have pseudoephedrine. It has a loratadine or whatever, some drug in it. You can't. Vancouver, you have to go there to buy. You have to go there to buy Sudafed, like a cold medicine. You have to, like anything with pseudoephed. You have to Sudafed. You have to buy in Washington. Claritin, which is simply an allergy medication, you can actually buy here. I did attempt to buy Sudafed in Vancouver. this weekend. But what I did not realize is even in Vancouver, where they you don't need a prescription to buy Sudafed in Vancouver, because we've had this whole thing about how I need Sudafed every time cold and flu season comes around, but you can't buy it in Oregon without a prescription. So I tried to buy it in Vancouver this weekend, and I went to a Safeway. But even in Washington, where you can get it without a prescription, you still got to put your name in the book, which means you got to go through the pharmacist, which means you got to get to the Safeway before the pharmacy closes, which I did not do. So I got the Safeway this weekend in Vancouver, but I was still screwed. I was still SOL because the pharmacy, they put down that big, like, iron gate. Yeah, so the pharmacy, I was effed. I got no Sudafed this weekend. So I got Claritin, and I got those allergy eye drops, which makes me feel like I'm some 8-year-old sissy back in gym class. I have to stop and put eye drops in and take allergy medication every 9 minutes.
I've been putting in eye drops all weekend.
God damn, it's like one step away from just having an inhaler and a pocket protector. It just makes me feel like an effing tool.
You know what I did on Saturday?
I have no idea.
I went to the zoo.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I went to the zoo. And looked at
what
animals.
Do you mean you went to the zoo?
I went to
the actual zoo?
Yeah.
The animal? Why?
Because it was something different.
You know, zoos are one of those things that seem like they're going to be a lot of fun, and then they never are. You go to the zoo, and it's like after you've seen the first three elephants or whatever, it's like, really, what else is there?
No, it was fun for about 2 hours. And then as soon as we were looking at a hippopotamus, I'm like, all these animals are starting to look the same.
That's what I mean.
It was cool for what it was, like getting to see elephants. And
I suppose.
There's the bat cave thing. I didn't realize the bats had little claws on the ends of their wings.
Yeah. Well, how do you think they hang upside down?
On the feet.
Yeah, but they got front feet too, don't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't realize they did. No, they don't have like little arms. They're on the ends of their wings.
We're such idiots.
I know.
This is another one of those things that everybody in the world knew and we didn't.
It was fascinating to me.
Going to the zoo.
And the monkeys were great.
I'm not trying to knock the zoo. I'm just saying going to the zoo to me is a bit like going on the Small World ride. That after about 35 minutes, you're like, okay, I kind of get the... Do they have sturgeon at the zoo here?
I don't know.
Do they have, like, fish things?
Yeah, they had fish.
I've never been to the zoo.
Crocodiles and all kinds of crazy-looking things.
The only time... You can insert your own joke here. The only time I ever went to the zoo was for an Indigo Girls concert. So I've never actually been there to see... Just sitting there surrounded by hairy-legged women smelling manure with every breath. All right, we're joined today. It's true. We're joined today, as are we always, by the fantastic... I'm doing your intro for Tim.
What's wrong with
you? It's because I'm full of cold medication today.
You know what I have to say? So about one more thing about the zoo, can I fit?
Yeah.
If some guy is dating a girl and she's really pushing him to have kids, what he needs to do is take her to the zoo on a Saturday. It was the most terrible thing. There were kids on leashes. There were fat ladies with them strapped to their backs that they'd, like, smash me against the wall with their child.
Fat ladies with them strapped to their back. All right.
And they had leashes.
It was like some fleshy backpack.
And the kids
didn't have leashes.
Being pulled around in little wagons because they're lazy.
Can I just tell you how much and people have heard me bitch about this in the past. I've been very good. I've been a good boy. I haven't talked about this for like 3 years. But I got to tell you, goddamn, I hate those parents that put their kids on leashes. If you can't control your kid, put on a goddamn condom and don't have any more children. If you can, seriously. Dude, Tim, were you put on a leash as a child?
I don't think they had leashes for kids.
That's what I'm saying. Sarah, were you put on a leash as a child?
No. And you know what? And now they have these cleverly deceptive things where their backpacks, and their backpack made out of an animal. It's like the backpack like, looks like like a monkey. And then there's a tail, and the tail just happens to be the leash.
Yeah, I hate that.
Oh,
it
bothered me.
Man, you know where you go that you see kids leashes all the time is Lloyd Center. Lloyd Center is just lousy with parents. Or a Rottweiler out back. It just fills me with rage. Kids have hands for a reason. Never mind. I'm not going to get off into the whole thing. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, you know what today is?
I have no idea.
Well, first of all, yesterday, a couple hundred troublemakers tried to raise havoc downtown and were quickly brought under control as they should be. There's always enough trouble down there anyway. The president pleads for patience on this the 5th anniversary of the Iraq War. Tony Stone criticized Democrats who don't like war. And a new study shows 1/3 of those living in D.C. are illiterate.
Fantastic.
There you go.
All right. I did not remember that the peace parade was... So not only did I not remember that St. Patrick's Day was on Saturday. That was bad enough. Thank God that I spent part of Saturday in Vancouver, and I never really ever thought that I would be using that phrase. Really? That's not a... Thank God that I was in Vancouver. Thank Holy God. I went to Cinetopia to see 300 on Saturday, which was...
And?
It was good. I don't think it's quite as good as everybody. It was better than I expected it to be. For me. I'm saying for me. I don't think it's as good as everybody else has been saying. Has anybody else here seen it? Tim?
It looks a little violent for me.
It is. It's incredibly violent. It's all really cartoony.
For the Mormon version.
Maybe the clean cuts version. What is that company? Clean Flicks? The, it's not quite as good as everybody else has been saying, in my opinion, but it is great, though. It is pretty damn fantastic. Especially, I started seeing the digital screen and so forth. So I was in Vancouver for most of St. Patrick's Day. But then Laura and I decided to go downtown yesterday to see this. There's this movie, which I did not even know was filmed in Portland. I went downtown yesterday to that, what is it, the one on Broadway, the Regal 10 or whatever the hell. It's called The Rise of Leslie Vernon. And it's this. It's a sort of a horror film slash comedy, which, and it was filmed in Portland. I had no idea. It was filmed in Portland, St. John's, and Estacada. In the country. I mean, they're not marketing it as a local film. It just happens to have been filmed in Portland. Keeping the streak alive, it's not very good. But if you are a slasher film fan, you should probably see it. It's probably the definitive deconstruction of American slasher films. It's much better than Scream in that regard. Not a very good film in and of itself. Although I did see, can I just tell you this, while I was at the Rise of Leslie Vernon yesterday, I did see the trailer for the worst movie. And I'm totally going to go see it, too. And it's called Red Line. Have you seen the trailer for Red Line?
Mm-mm.
It's like a Cannonball Run knockoff. It's like the Cannonball Run meets the Fast and the Furious, meets just like a big bag of steaming crap. It just looks terrible. It looks so bad. But it's so bad that I'm going to have no choice but to see it like opening weekend. So if you guys, and you can tell it's bad because they spend like half the time during the trailer telling you about what music is on the soundtrack. And then you go out into the lobby and there's a huge, gigantic cardboard sign advertising the film. And the cardboard sign's got like a little computer monitor in it through which you can sign up to win something. So they're totally trying to drive word of mouth through giveaways because the film itself, it looks like ass. So I would encourage everybody to go see Redline because it's gonna be fantastically bad. I can already tell you that. As opposed to The Rise of Leslie Vernon, which was just sort of bad. But then, so I'm going through downtown yesterday, and Laura and I are like, well, we got like, you know, it is Sunday, so we're figuring traffic's gonna be really light. So I'm like, well, you know, the movie starts at 2:10, we can leave the house at like 1:55, and we completely forget that downtown is just packed with just idiots. It is all, and you know, be for the war, be against the war, I don't care, just stay out of my way. Here's what I don't understand. What I don't understand about these peace rallies is we have parks, right? Isn't that the thing? Don't we have, unless I'm wrong, unless they've just removed it when I wasn't looking, don't we have a big-ass park down by the water that holds thousands of people? Aren't there some parks, in fact, in the middle of the city that hold hundreds of people? You know, right by the courthouse and the Portlandia and the whatever. Why can't they just have the gathering there? Why does it have to be in the middle of the street? That's what I've never understood. Even if you wanted to, let's just say for the sake of... a gathering as it was a march or a parade of some kind. You could still go down by the river and you could actually march from one end of the park to the other. There you get the best of both worlds. You have your parade and you're not getting in my way while I'm trying to do something. But instead, that's not the case. Instead, it's just endless idiots, and it's just like a bunch of guys on unicycles and guys in like rainbow clown wigs walking around with impeach Bush signs. And then, of course, there's got to be 500 cops for every protester down there. And while I'm on the subject of 500 cops who are blocking downtown yesterday, let me ask you this. I'd like to know how much money it is that we spend every year providing and then taking care of cops on horseback. It is 2000 and goddamn 7. Why do we, and I mean this sincerely, I want someone to tell me this. Why do we have cops on horseback? Someone tell me now. I want to know. You know, horses aren't cheap. Horses aren't cheap. They're not cheap to buy. They're not cheap to feed. They're not cheap to take care of. When is the last time you saw a cop on a horse arresting somebody? When is the last time you filed a complaint about somebody stealing your toaster oven and a Portland Mountie came to your front door to take your the police report? It never happens.
The only time I've ever seen cops on horses arresting people is if they were just drinking in public. I've never seen them do anything worthwhile except for, like, you know, poking at a bum who's sitting there with a 40 of old English.
They don't do anything. And then and I know that it's all part of life's the grand circle and everybody poops and so forth. But, I mean, and then the horses are just leaving crap. I mean, actual just big piles of crap all over town. And then I was bicycling later, and I'm having to avoid horse droppings on the road. That's a lot of fun. I can't even imagine how many of our tax dollars go to take care of horses every year. Not that I have anything against horses or against animals. I think if we're going to pay to take care of horses for the police department, that I think that they ought to be, I think one out of every five police calls have to be answered on horseback. I think like two, three, four, like once a week. I think once a week every month the cops ought to be obliged to chase a fleeing suspect on horseback. You know what I mean? I mean, what the hell am I paying for that for? And it's hard to take those guys seriously, too. When you see a cop on a horseback, do you assume that he's been demoted or he's being punished for something? It's like when you see one of those cops on a bicycle or when you see a meter maid. When you see a meter maid, do you automatically assume that, A, he was a guy who couldn't quite make it under the force, or, B, he was a guy who used to be a cop and then, either just became too morbidly obese or just failed one too many tests or planted evidence one too many times and got busted down to ticketing people, you know, for the next 18 months? That's automatically what I think when I see a cop on horseback. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm just saying it's 2007. It seems like everybody could move up to the internal combustion engine, you know? I'm just saying. Who is this?
Hey, Rick, what's up?
Who am I speaking to?
This is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
The cops on horseback,
yeah.
That's cops on horseback are ultimate crowd control because nobody wants to mess with a guy on a horse. Seriously. Riots, that's usually the best way to break up a riot is bring in the horse cops because nobody, for some reason, people are just more afraid of horses than they are of policemen.
Well, I suppose, I mean, maybe. To me, it's not really so much the horse as it is the gun. I think the gun is really what makes me afraid of police officers. So, is that really what it is? I mean, are you just, I'm not saying...
No. My brother-in-law was in the SWAT team. He talked about how, you know, when it comes to crowd control, the best two things to bring in are horses and dogs. Because people are more afraid of animals than they are of other people. It just scares a lot of people. I don't know why.
The dog thing I could see. I could see that when you bring in, like, a German Shepherd or something, that people don't want to screw with those. Is that really... So that's true. I mean, I guess I never really thought about that. The only time I really do see them is when there's a bunch of nitwits downtown protesting something.
Well, and realize, when they're up there on horseback, they're like 12, 14 feet tall. So it just by itself, it's just kind of scary enough to get you moving the other direction.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, I'm not entirely sure that that's the reason, but we'll accept that. You know what? We'll accept that as an ad hoc reason until we find something definitive. All right. Thank you, sir. That's Tom. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Well, Tom nailed it on the head. That's exactly why they use horses. It's the psychological factor. The other thing, too, is a police officer up on top of that horse can see who the center troublemaker is and find that person and remove them from the crowd. You gotta remember, they use horses for cutting cattle, and what's more cattle-like than a crowd of any workout protest?
That really is true. The smells are very similar as well.
Yes.
All right. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. All right. I'm gonna do this just so I can get it out of the way. All right. Because, you know.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Hey, Rick, I want to back up what the other guys have said. Exactly, that a superlative crowd control device. They weigh 1,500 pounds. They can cut and maneuver, and they're extremely mobile. So they're considered the A number one crowd control.
So you're saying that psychologically, speaking, it's that the horses are I'm not trying to be anti-cop here. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So you're saying that psychologically speaking, though, horses are sort of intimidating to a crowd, and that's why they're always in attendance at these rallies.
Yeah, I mean, suddenly a cop that weighs, you know, 200 pounds now weighs 1,800 pounds. And
that's
he's
true.
Got pointy steel shoes on his feet, and he's way up there. And also, if you touch the horse in any way, they can bust your head for all sorts of things. So
is that, what do you mean, the cop or the horse?
Yeah, the cop will actually, if you mess with the horse, then you're breaking all sorts of their rules.
And then they've just got carte blanche just to light your ass up?
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to mention that last week you came up with your future autobiography title all by yourself.
Which is?
In Defiance of the Red Hand. Write it down. It's great.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, that was, you were talking about the the gutter punk that was crossing in front of your car.
Oh, yeah, and he was crossing against the light, yeah.
Yeah, and you said, in defiance of the red hand, I said, that's it, that's Rick's future title.
All right, thank
and
you.
And also, I wanted to mention, I'm also a fan of J.T. Walsh.
Really?
Yeah, he's my. He's, I was so bummed when he died. I
mean, he was our finest character actor.
Yeah, well, he played Dick Cheney perfectly, don't you think?
That's true. He, you know what he did, played really well? J.T. Walsh played oily corporate bad guy better than anybody on Earth.
Yeah.
He was also the Jack Nicholson's second in command who then killed himself in the hotel room in A Few Good Men.
Yeah, and in Breakdown, he was that was the ultimate role for J.T. Walsh.
True. All right.
That's a great loss. Thank
and
you.
He was also Mr. Tucker in that movie with Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, there'll never be another J.T.
That's true. What was that? The babysitter? Is that the babysitter with Alicia Silverstone?
Guy?
Mr. Tucker! And he comes back with J.T. Walsh.
Okay.
All right, one more, then we're done. Kelly, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi. Just going along with the police, I was at the Crystal Ballroom a couple nights ago, actually Saturday night. There was a fight that broke out, and I guess no one could control these two guys. They weren't sick or anything. But there was no joke. Seven cop cars, okay? Seven cop cars, and about five of them each had two policemen in them. And I'm like, okay, there's two guys fighting. How the heck are you gonna...
Right.
You know, it was just ridiculous. And I don't think that, you know, every time something goes on like that, that, you know, 20 cops should show up, you know? So I understand your thing about the police and what we pay for.
Well, yeah, well, there's a disproportionate response to certain things. But the horse thing does make sense, too, especially because you get the feeling that...
I've only seen one horse cop.
Yeah, there was
around, and he was just sitting there, and his horse was eating something.
There was about five downtown. You do get the idea, though, that maybe those horses could kick you in the face and kill you instantly. So maybe there is something to the intimidation factor.
Yeah, but, I mean, dogs, yeah, they're intimidating, but horses, like... Most people want to be like, oh, can I pet your horse? You know, it's not like, oh, my God, there's a horse in front of me. Sure. I'm going to kick my butt, you know?
All right. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Oh, there you go. They ought to have those things from... Are we at the break here?
Yeah.
They ought to have those things from the Fellowship of the Ring. What are those wolves of... What are those wolf things that they fight in Fellowship of the Ring? Or whatever. It's 503-733-296. Is it 1130? Jesus Christ, are you kidding me?
You've been talking for a while today.
I swear to God, I just walked in here like 5 minutes ago. All right. Man, I start taking Claritin all the time. And lots of whiskey. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's the only other observation I'm going to make about this the Peace Parade. And I don't even know how many people were there yesterday. I mean, Tim will talk about that. It's the same thing. Tim will say it's hundreds, and the peace people will say that it was thousands. And it doesn't matter because it's futile and pointless anyway. It will change nothing. But there really is nothing that'll make me more filled with hate and violence than a peace parade. I don't know why that is, man. There's nothing that makes me hate peace more than driving through a rally filled with peace. It just makes me want to hurt people. I don't know why. It makes me... It's like some temporal distortion field. It's like some weird... It's like I go through some weird tunnel or something. As I'm trying to... And I'm just trying to find a goddamn parking space. And meanwhile... I'm just the air is just filled with just patchouli and joblessness.
Well, you should know better to go downtown on the weekend.
God, I didn't know. I forgot that the thing was happening.
Just a general rule.
I know. And you know what it is? It was karma for not bicycling. That's the thing. It was karma for not bicycling to the film. Because I drove to the film, that's why I ended up in the middle of, like, a downtown hippieville yesterday. But I swear to God, and this is absolutely true, and then it passed. But as I was, like knee-deep in Cretan yesterday, trying to get to the movie theater, and I ended up just going into one of the stupid parking garages. That's how difficult it was to find a parking space, because they were all filled with guys in, like hemp shirts. As I was trying to find a parking space... It's like I entered the anti-war protest yesterday with my car, and as my car is just surrounded by hippies, just chanting and yelling things and waving things and blowing those little New Year's Eve things, you know, and I'm just chanting on loudspeakers about impeaching George Bush. And I swear to God, as I was in the middle of the parade, in the back of my head, there was this little voice going, maybe the war in Iraq isn't such a bad idea. They really do need to be. We really should be spreading democracy. I'm in favor. This war's a great idea. And then by the time I got out the other side of the parade, it had passed. But it was sort of like being surrounded by anti-war protesters, all of them filthy and without employment. It was just for like about 15 seconds, it just made me rabidly pro-war. It was the weirdest sensation. Let's do this. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, the golden-throated Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? You're sounding much better.
I am so much better.
How's the blood coughing?
No more blood. Everything, like I said, apparently that's my body's normal process.
Maybe you're out of blood at this point. Maybe you've just coughed it all up. Hey, in D.C., did you guys get a bunch of these, the anti-war? Well, of course you did. You had probably a bunch of huge protests going on there.
Yeah, we had some good protests. We had actually a good shouting match from across the street. We had some, I guess you wouldn't say pro-war, but supporting the president on one side of the street, and then on the other side of the street, not supporting the president. You know, basically, there were some Hitler references, there were some Osama bin Laden references thrown around. It was a good time.
Now, I find that when the people say that they're not pro-war, I find that to be disingenuous. And I don't say that because of the Rick Emerson show's perspective on this conflict or how we feel about it. But, I mean, come on, let's call a spade a spade.
I don't know. I think that's legitimate. It's not like they want war. They're saying we need to stay there for right now.
I don't wish to get into some sort of a linguistic spat. I'm just saying, if you feel like we ought to continue to, not you, but if someone feels right. like we ought to continue to be there and continue to engage in the military operation there, they are, if not in a generalized sense, at least in a specific sense, in favor of this war. They are, I'm just saying, I wish they would just have the guts to say that. I wish pro-war people would just have the guts to say that they're pro-war, as opposed to just framing it as some sort of, I just would feel like we ought to stay the course and support the administration, which means nothing, just because those are phrases that mean nothing. They're just complete, just a whole lot of pablum-esque dialogue. You know, this country is just filled with gutless weasels. That's the problem, Lisa.
So you think you'd be okay with if we said Iraq war supporters, something like that?
At least it's honest. You know what I mean? If somebody if someone were to come out and say, you know what, it is as I said, not to be bringing up old stuff, as they say, but if George W. Bush, for example, had come back, it had come out, you know, years ago, and if he, you know, after 9/11, and he'd said, look, war is terrible and it's awful and it's a huge sacrifice and it's going to be painful and there's going to be loss and it's going to be very difficult psychologically and economically for this country, but we got to dig in and we're going to go over and we're going to start cleaning house one country at a time, and we're just going to go whoop up on that entire section of the world until everybody kind of comes around to our way of thinking, and it's going to be the worst thing we've ever gone through as a country, but hopefully we'll come out stronger as a planet on the other side of it, and let's dig in. At least I could have respected his honesty there. I could have respected the fact that he was just going to sort of, that he was leveling with us, and that was the deal. As opposed to this sort of just, this vague
sort of...
And
you're what you're saying. This whole gray area where everybody's got to be loving puppies and...
Seriously, and just... And,
like an ice cream cone.
And I say this because here in the Rick Emerson Show, we find fault with everybody, all points of view, all belief systems, and everything. So just as I'm complaining about these idiot hippies who were downtown yesterday, thinking that the way to stop the war is to ride around on a unicycle with a Dr. Seuss hat, you know, high as a kite.
You sure that wasn't a St. Patrick's Day parade?
You know, they all drift together here. They all blend together in Portland. Just as those guys are accomplishing nothing, it's certainly not capturing the minds and hearts of the undecided or the pro-war faction by blocking the street. I don't know when protesters...
I really wish you were here. I wish you could... I would like to see a press release from you and the pro-war faction.
I
would like to see you representing the pro-war faction.
I'm not even representing the pro-war faction.
I know you personally are, but I feel like if I could see you as the gun for hire.
Maybe I could
by this pro-war faction.
Because on the one hand, the anti-war people the anti-war people are blocking the road while I'm trying to get to the movies last night. So of course they're doing nothing to get me on their side, and then. And then the people on the other side won't just come out. They're intellectually and I believe morally dishonest and disingenuous by not just saying what they really believe, which is that we ought to stay over there and just keep pounding Iraq militarily until they become a democracy and mirror the American way of life. And maybe people agree with that, maybe they don't, but that is clearly what a certain group of people think we ought to do, and they ought to just, you know, they ought to just, that is Scotty, to be fair, Scotty J, our intrepid PA here.
Indeed.
He actually, to his credit, he actually does say that he feels like we ought to just go over there and just bomb them into submission from orbit every single day until it's an entire country filled with dust and rubble, and then just open, you know, a bunch of Starbucks over there. And God love him, at least he's honest and upfront about it. I just wish the pro-war people would be the same and not hide behind this fiction that they just are supporting the administration. Anyway,
right, so John McCain's kind of up your alley. He's saying, yeah, come on. Thousands more guys out there. Let's do it. And actually, there are folks on the other end as well that are like, let's freaking cut off the money, people.
That's what I'm saying. I just despise a mealy-mouthed prevarication. That's what I dislike, and I think a lot of Americans don't like that. Hey, by the way, did you see that one-third of the people where you live can't read?
No, that's not true.
I'm reading this now from the Associated Press. One-third of the people living in the nation's capital are functionally illiterate.
Oh, boy.
Compared with one-fifth nationally, like that's anything to brag about. 20% of the people in the country can't read.
That's amazing to me. 20% of the people in the country...
Adults are considered functionally illiterate if they have trouble doing things such as comprehending bus schedules or filling out job applications. So the State Education Agency, funded by the U.S. Department of Education, says that one-third of the people in the District of Columbia are functionally illiterate.
Ironic, because you say not a state... So the State Education Association working on their behalf. But what you know, what's interesting is now the whole DC statehood movement is trying to get its whole the next oomph. They've got a big rally, I guess, coming up in April, and the House is just about to vote on a bill that would give DC a vote. Of course, Utah would get a vote in the deal as well. But the White House came out just at the end of last week saying it believes that that is unconstitutional. So the White House putting the kibosh on the functionally illiterate voters, apparently.
Yeah, I was going to say, too bad nobody will be able to read the ballot.
D.C. Right. But it all just ticks me off. It angers me very much. The lack of a vote and the lack of...
Well, because you guys are sort of like, what is it? Is it the... I'm such a dumb American. Is it Puerto Rico that we tax and that we can conscript their soldiers or whatever, but at the same time, like, they can't vote?
Right, and also the District of Columbia.
The District of Columbia. I mean, it's the same thing. It is quite literally taxation without representation to some degree.
Right. It's completely taxation without representation. It's not even a little bit. Yeah, I could go off on this. It's absolutely taxation without representation. We have no representation, and we're taxed a lot.
You guys ought to throw something into a body of water somewhere.
You know, I think we've done that for too long. I don't know. The tidal basin stuff starting to stick up at the top.
I mean, here's a dumb question, though. I mean, I ask this only out of sheer morbid curiosity. And maybe this is too big of a question for you to answer right now, but...
Oh, I like it already.
No, but why, and please don't take any disrespect from this, because I know people are proud of their communities, and it's good to be proud of where you live.
Right.
Why is D.C. such a hole?
You know what? This is the deal, and this isn't just me spinning. D.C. has been turning around for the last 15 years. It is not the place that it was 15 years ago. It's not Marion Barry's D.C. There are some great things happening in a lot of D.C. Now, there still is a significant section of D.C., especially the southeast, parts of the northeast, that still are in a lot of trouble, that still have a long road to hoe. But there are sections that used to be, where the streetwalkers were, used to be, you know, drug lord alley. I remember visiting my brother and walking over the outline of a body to go visit him in an area that is now booming. It's where the basketball team plays, and we've got a brand new convention center. So that area that really used to be dangerous is much nicer. But I think the bigger issue is that D.C. has always been run by Congress, and that's just been a mess. So Congress has either neglected D.C., I think, or has run experiments on D.C. because it's wanted to. And D.C. has suffered from having, I don't know if it's inferiority or education or whatever the problem is, D.C. has had a problem with leadership for a long time.
You know, it's interesting. You guys are sort of, I always talk about and this may sound like a strange analogy, I always talk about Charles Manson being sort of fascinating to me, because Charles Manson is a child who was raised almost entirely by the government, because he spent so much time in correctional institutes and state reformatories.
Sure.
So he was, you know, he was a kid raised by the government, and you see how he turned out. So D.C. is sort of the Charles Manson of the United States, being run by the government and is used as some sort of a petri dish by Congress, and of course it just all goes badly. So
yeah, it's such a shame, because there was some great stuff going on in D.C. for a long time. This is, you know, where you had Langston Hughes, you had incredible jazz here, and everything was going really well. Then the whole MLK riots. After that, it's we're still recovering from that, really.
All right. I we've gotten so far off the point. I apologize.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm all high on the allergy medication, though.
Oh,
so.
Hey, that's great. That was like me and the Ambien cold medicine last week.
So if I sound especially irascible today, that's why. So today is, what, the four-year anniversary of beginning now the fifth year of this damn fool war in Iraq?
Yes, just after midnight your time, I believe, is when.
And so I know that George Bush, what is it? Was it a press release or he gave some speech or something where he was encouraging us to, quote, be patient because it's a matter of not weeks, but months.
But months, yeah.
So does he really believe that it's a matter of months? I mean, I guess technically months could go on and on forever, but does he really believe that it's a matter of months, not years?
You know, there's no way to know. There's no way to know what he believes. In the past, he has said that he thinks this war in Iraq will not end on his watch, that it will end under the next president's watch. So does he still believe that, or does he really, you know, and clearly his presidency is a matter of months at this point. Yeah. So perhaps that's what he means. It's hard to say what he means there.
I don't even really know where else to go with this, except to say that it does really seem like the public tide has turned in a very, very strong way against the administration on this.
Really, it's really unbelievable. And what's interesting to me today is here, from both sides, I think because President Bush is so much more in the hot seat that it sticks out more for him. But both the Democrats and the president today on this fourth anniversary are saying the exact same things that they've been saying for the last year and a half almost. The president started out his remarks today talking about how great it is that Saddam Hussein is out of power.
Right.
Well, he's been out of power for so long. That's all you got? What you got? You know? And Democrats still talking about, you know, we need to get out of it's really the same. You know, we don't want to stay the course. Really, let's talk about what's going on right now. Let's talk about specifics. Let's be honest. Let's really get down to it. Let's not just banter around the same lame old pizza hanging around the dorm rhetoric that you've had for 6 months, but yet that's what they're doing.
Is it true that when Saddam Hussein, because you hear this a lot, Donald Trump was the most recent to say this, on being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer, is it true that when Saddam Hussein was in power, that he kept that country, relatively speaking, free of terrorists?
Well, except for
himself.
Right.
Except for himself and those who worked for him.
Right, which was a massive amount of people who killed a massive amount of people. Yeah, you could say the same with Stalin. That it was a very orderly society.
The trains ran on time, I suppose.
True.
Yes.
Right. Well, yeah, what's that get you? Yeah, yes. I don't know.
I guess there really is no good equation there.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, and sorry that nobody in your district can read and they've all got guns.
Right, so. Now we're getting guns. No vote, but they will give us guns.
Yeah.
So we got that.
It's a wash. All right, enjoy the rest of your afternoon, Lisa. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard there. I'm always happy when I have a story that she doesn't have yet, especially when it relates to the District of Columbia. A little smile on my face.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I mean, except I got all these stupid allergies, but that's I'm okay.
And the whole being high thing.
And I'm high. Rick, you don't know the hell that awaits you this allergy season. I am already getting hammered by allergies. My eyes feel like they're being rubbed with sandpaper. My nose is a leaky faucet. Plus, I get to add asthma to the mix. Let's see. I wouldn't mind sounding like Darth Vader if I could also force choke. As it stands, I just sound like a wimpy nerd. Yeah, see, and I don't even get the cool Darth Vader voice. I get the high, scrapey voice. When I get out, poor Joe, the guy who works in production, our production director, he used to wear those Breathe Right strips. It's like gay Band-Aid things on his nose.
Well, he's an avid bike rider, too.
Well, yeah.
He rides like 20 miles a day, I think.
Totally. And, like, his voice is his livelihood. He has to sit in there voice commercials all day when he's walking. He's got those, just like, those masking tape things on his nose. I just feel so bad for that guy because he, you know, because he... If he looks like a tool, but I mean, what are you going to do? Can't lose your voice. All right. Well, I just got all these emails about whatever. So, well, we'll talk a little bit about the protests in the news hour, which begins momentarily. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. A top five from Scotty J. What else? Oh, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. Jim Roop and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay right there.